Welcome to the Industry.Beauty's In Conversation podcast, where we invite you to tune into the stories of some of beauty's most inspirational leaders. From the history of their careers to the current priorities for their businesses and advice for their fellow beauty friends, these conversations cover it all. The In Conversation series is staged in partnership with Klarna. Provence-born and Paris-trained, Frédéric Fekkai opened his groundbreaking namesake salon atop New York's Bergdorf Goodman department store, creating the concept of beauty hospitality and revolutionising the industry standard for hairstylists. Fekkai is now continuing his legacy with a new mission to create the cleanest, most sustainable haircare that delivers salon performance to every customer. His salon-grade EWG-compliant formulas are all clean, vegan, silicone-free and cruelty-free, and feature naturally derived, high-performance ingredients that are sourced sustainably. Fekkai tells me, Tom Shearsmith, news editor and senior writer, about his early career, why he bought his brand back after originally selling it to P&G, the sustainability credentials of his products, the innovations that are taking place behind the scenes at the brand, and how those living in the UK can take better care of their hair. Okay, so Frédéric Fekkai, welcome to our podcast. How are you doing? It's great to see you actually in person in London.
Well, thank you. I mean, frankly, this is one of my favorite cities, if not my favorite city to visit and perhaps one day leave here. It's great. I love London.
I can't see any reason why you'd want to leave New York and come to London, but if you think it's better here, I trust your judgment on that.
Yeah, I think, you know, New York is also great, but also here, you know, what we don't see in New York is that, you know, with all the skyscrapers, we don't see the sky. Here, at least you see the sky.
You got on to founding your brand in 1989, but I want to take you back as far as you can remember for it. Was there a specific moment that you can recall that sort of helped you realize that this is your vision, that you wanted to found a business in the haircare industry?
You know, it's very interesting. Coming from France and being in New York, I thought there was a huge gap in the beauty industry in New York. You know, in France, we had what we call the French beauty, which is a bit like, elegant but effortless. You know, you have that also in England, London. And in the US, I saw the ladies, the women, that were absolutely well-groomed, overdone at 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, or very, very casual. There was no in-between. And I said to myself, this doesn't work. I mean, I was going to the salon at 8 o'clock in the morning and I saw the ladies all made up with makeup and, you know, high heels and so on. And I said, something doesn't work. So I helped them to introduce them to a style that would be elegant, chic, but much more effortless, mm-hmm. and a little bit more, I would say, casual in for business.
Yeah.
And difficult to get accepted there, but then people really thought it was making great sense and it was working actually better for them. They were saving time, they looked better. And that made my mark. That mm-hmm. made my mark. So introducing a basically a casual chic look in beauty, and that was, you know, my strength was that I was not just stopping at hair. I loved giving them a consultation and help them with their whole total beauty,
yeah.
The makeup, the hair, but also I would advise them if they had the wrong eyewear frame, things like that, just to make sure they knew that my interest was more than just doing hair.
Yeah, you were almost giving them confidence.
Not almost. That was this. By the way, you know, my business is all about boosting confidence.
So, for those who aren't aware, I can't imagine there's going to be many people listening that don't know of your brand, but there will be some.
Could you summarize it in exactly what the Frédéric Foucault brand does and creates and puts on a shelf?
You know, we want the motive, you know, selling product, it's a normal thing. This is what a business is about. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to really articulate that. That's a reaction. That's a result. What we really do, I think, and we want to, I think we do it well, but we want to do even better, is really communicate to our customer how to look good, how to feel good, and how to help them, to guide them to get there. So obviously we have two salons in New York gives us, you know, this laboratory, that testing laboratory about not only product, but also demonstrating style. But we engage communicating how to do their hair, how to look good, how to manage their hair. And you know, very often that's where the problem start. People have no idea what type of hair they have. They have no idea what are the rituals on how to keep hair in shape, shiny, healthy, bouncy. So we create product to satisfy those needs, whether it's volume or shine or for people who have color-treated hair, mm-hmm. and so on. And so that's how we want to make sure that customers know how to really treat themselves in the shower and off the shower, so that they can really have a style that is effortless, again, mm-hmm. but elegant.
And so how did you initially grow the brand? Was there a company, a business, an organization that gave you that first big break to be able to reach these customers?
That's a good question. You know, I started working for a French salon company that was in partnership with L'Oréal. Mm-hmm. And L'Oréal, from early on, I was very lucky. L'Oréal embraced me as an ambassador for the professional division.
Yeah.
So I was traveling throughout the United States in places that today I wonder if I will ever go again. But just to talk to stylists and to do education,
yeah.
To other stylists. And that gave me an amazing ground of, you know, not only boosting my confidence, myself this time, but also learning how to talk about hair, style in general, and got me my notoriety. I started to be making news. The press picked up on it. And then, of course, I was a rare combination. That's also what helped me, of a stylist, hairstylist, that was doing the photo shoot, campaign, videos, red carpet, and salon. That didn't exist before. They were amazing stylists that were doing technical studio stuff like that, and amazing stylists in salon, commercial. And no one was doing both. Mm-hmm. So I was the first one to do that. It was a fluke, but a great luck, because all of a sudden, you know, when I was on TV or any print at the time, you know, my title was Frédéric Foucault, stylist to the celebrities, yeah. You know, to the stars. So that already, you know, nobody had that before. And trust me, there was many other stylists with to the stars, but that gave me that label, and that helped me a great deal.
Yeah. And now is a perfect time, if you want to name drop, but can you tell me sort of the people and the celebrities that people would know that you've worked on?
Name dropping is always an interest. But, you know, over the years, I mean, I got so lucky and fortunate to work with amazing stars, whether, you know, and now I'm going to date myself, but starting with Jessica Lange, to Meryl Streep, to yeah. Jodie Foster, to after that, Charlize Theron, Scarlett Johansson, Salma Hayek, Emma Thompson here, Cate Blanchett, you know, I could go on and on.
Yeah, and I don't think they age you. They are great names.
They're great names, yes.
Yeah.
So it was amazing. I mean, it is amazing to work, because you learn. You know, it's one thing when you're in a salon and you decide what you do. Mm-hmm. But when you work with actresses and actors and you have to do a look that is identified with the role, which has nothing to do with their personality, it's the personality of the acting.
Yeah.
So it's a whole different game. It's a whole different styling. So yes, that was great.
But you enjoy it, right?
Oh, so much. Yeah.
At some point in the business, quite early on, you decided that it was the right decision to take on a financial partner. Was it a case that you just needed advice?
You know, it's interesting because I didn't go to business school, mm-hmm. but I was always fascinated by business, and I was frustrated and intimidated by business, you know, because you meet people who are doing this for a living, and here I am, you know, coming from basically hairstyling.
Yeah.
And so you need to learn. And that's the skill of an entrepreneur. You have to do your own business on the road, you know what I mean?
It's a journey. Yeah.
So I'm curious by nature. That also has been a great asset for me. And being curious, there's one thing interesting is when you're really curious, the association is because you're discovering, you have to know what you're not good at. And, you know, a lot of people, it's their ego. Don't let them make that step.
Yeah.
They pretend they know. The worst thing, the worst enemy we can have for us is when we pretend we know anything. So I'm happy to actually tell everybody I don't know. It's like, let me find out and meet the people who are successful. So I was really a sponge. That's actually something that I love about myself, a sponge about learning from other entrepreneurs, other businessmen, other CEO, and getting ideas. So I did my MBA basically by learning from others and taking examples from, you know, a brilliant restaurant owner or a brilliant other CEO or even an artist. You know, seeing people who have found a way of making a success. What can I learn from them? And this is how I did it. And by the way, it sounds good like this, but you make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
And you know, and those mistakes are valuable. They're great. You know, if they don't kill you, they make you stronger. Mm. So that's what I did.
And on a personal level, how does it feel to have watched the business grow at that point? So you watched it from the start. I'd say 10 years from when you started, You looked back and you must have been really proud of everything that you'd accomplished, and even more so now.
You know, it's interesting because, and please don't take this the wrong way, but the minute you think you're proud of something, You're dead. You know, success is it's a bicycle. What a bicycle does if you don't pedal, falls. So success is never a destination. Mm-hmm. Success is a trajectory, and you just have to keep pedaling. And I think the danger is when you start to think you're great or you've done something great. Yeah, you know, you have to give some credit to yourself, maybe, but not think that that doesn't work like that. You have to at all time challenge yourself challenge yourself and being relevant and up to date. Look at me. This is my fourth rodeo here, and it's different every time. The world has changed. You know, now it's a world of we're entering a digital era. I mean, not without entering. We are in the midst of a huge digital era. So it's how do we function that way? How do we, translate what we do digitally and making sure that this register and basically convert necessary in sales?
Yeah. Well, if you don't want to give yourself praise, at least let me give you some for what you've done. Mm-hmm.
Now let's hear a bit more about our partners, Klarna. Klarna lets customers pay up to 30 days later or in free installments from thousands of online stores, including Charlotte Tilbury, ASOS, and Cult Beauty. Find out more at Klarna.com.
As part of the business, though, you sold the brand in 2008, but then 10 years later, you bought it back.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just talk me through, without going into the specific business side of it, what the mental process was for you and why it was important for you to bring the brand back to yourself?
Yeah, it's interesting because I sold it with a great hope. The hope died down very quickly when I saw that, this big group bought, didn't have interest for it, simply. And so seeing my name on the bottle, and basically it's big an ego thing. I'm still alive. I mean, still young. And seeing on my life, my name coming from one shelf down all the way to the floor, that didn't look good. And that isn't good. And I took the challenge to take it back and try to put the product where it belongs. So, it's again an entrepreneurial journey, mm-hmm. and a tough one. When I bought the brand back, I had to make it relevant. And we reformulate all the product to clean science formula with great performance, which is a huge challenge. Mm-hmm. We repackage everything with a sustainable packaging, which is, bottle made at 95% of post-consumer recycled plastic, PCR, which is also an amazing step.
Yeah.
And furthermore, something that was always a nightmare to financially is I basically cleaned up all the distribution because the product were distributed at Food, Drug, and Mass, which when I sold it, it was on the opposite. It was a prestige. So took it out. Just placed now the product where it belongs in prestige and mastige distribution. So here we are in Selfridges. And, it was very important for me to get back and make this brand relevant again. Tough journey.
Yeah.
But today we're in a great place. I mean, I always want to refer that today we are on the tarmac, hope well equipped and with the right fuel to really take off. Mm-hmm. And so we're growing very nicely now and looking forward to even do more in our front, innovation in distribution and so on.
And as part of your trip here to London, you've been to visit some of these places that stock you.
Yeah.
I mean, how does it feel to see your product back where it belongs on these prestigious places?
It's great because, first of all, our customer is a sophisticated customer.
Yeah.
and our product is quite expensive. So it's important to make sure that the product is where they shop. And it's exciting for us. It's exciting because we can market it that way. It's not swimming upstream like when you sell a product that's too expensive in a venue where you compete with a product that are half the price and triple the size. So this is great. And also my analogy is simple. It's where we are today. We're selling a story.
Mm-hmm.
We're selling a brand. We're selling something substantial. In Food, Drug, and Mass, you sell a product, a commodity. So it's two different things. And I love to sell stories.
Yeah. And so as part of the business today, you've already mentioned that sustainability mm-hmm. and clean is a huge focus. Mm-hmm. But can you talk me through the products that you have?
So you'll see when we're really going to be fully in stock, the whole range of Fekai product, which is, treatment, shampoo and conditioner and treatment. And this is also important to us. We want to make sure that the product delivers superior performance, mm-hmm. not just part with the orders, but superior. And also we want to make sure that the innovation keeps coming, that you know, the products are leading innovation. So, for instance, we will be one of the first one to come out with an aerosol which is green, which is very important to me. Launching hairspray without with gas was not an option. So we are coming out with a green aerosol that is so friendly to the environment, you know, and no harm to the ozone. So that's amazing to me. And we have products that are, you know, again, formulated with clean science, which is, for me, an amazing achievement.
Yeah. I mean, I can't wait to see the hairspray. That sounds like such an interesting development. You talked about sort of how your testing process is briefly, but can you tell me what it is in a bit more detail? Because your website says that every product basically goes through 10 months of weekly salon testing. What does that involve? How does it work, and how do you get the feedback from that?
That's also the great advantage we have, is that we started with the salon. So the salon is our foundation. That's how we created the brand. The brand was born out of salons. And that's where we always had testing the product. And today, you know, we have two salons, and great, because in New York is one uptown and one is downtown. So two different customer, mm-hmm. two different audience. And we test our product every time we submit to the lab, you know, our brief, and we get the product. We test it, not only us, but we have the stylist testing it, but we test myself as well. We test, and we also give it to a roster of stylists internationally that works with us, you know, some from England, some from California, and so on. Just to make sure that we get the proper feedback. Mm-hmm. It's the best focus group we can have today. So that's a real good indication.
And do you find that your consumers, since you founded the business in 1989, that they've wanted new things? They've wanted like new scents, or they've wanted something that is just different to what they may have wanted 5 years prior?
Well, so let me just backtrack.
Yeah.
You know, again, without being presumptuous, you know, the thing that makes Fekai different than anyone is that we created a category that didn't exist.
Yeah.
Hair care before was a commodity. It was product made by the big conglomerate, like, you know, all these big companies. And the product was pretty much basic. When I came to the market, I didn't like that. And I saw my customer, you know, wearing skincare with 3 ounces of a cream at $300 and using a shampoo at $6.99. So the gap was not making sense. That's how I started to create a hair care line on the skincare technology and innovation. Mm-hmm. So I created what we call a skinification to the hair. And that's how Fekai was positioned to be luxurious and, you know, and really luscious and luxurious and efficient, because we had much more innovation, and the product was obviously more expensive, and the packaging looked more like skincare than hair care. So that was the position I had, and today we continue to do that, to really create a product that have you know, cutting edge technology. We're off after this trip to see a lab in Switzerland that is specialized on hair loss. And that's a big, big issue right now. It always has, but more now.
Yeah.
So we're going to look at everything that could be, but again, always with clean science.
And that's all that I understand. That's always the top priority, is to make sure everything is clean and sustainable. You've already mentioned that you operate two salons in New York and opposite ends of the New York clientele, if you like. Do you ever get the chance to visit and see how that side of the business is operating? Because you live close by.
Yeah. You know, I by the way, I love going to the salon. To me, when I go to the salon, not only I get feedback from the customer, but also from the stylist. And also I love to do hair.
Yeah.
Because when I do that, I touch the hair. I see the things. That's, I realize what the texture of the hair is lacking, or, you know, it gives me a whole assessment of what we are looking to do. You know, it's to me, the salons is a great ground for innovation, for creativity and inspiration.
And the community who buy and use your products, they definitely appreciate the planet. That's why they, one of the reasons why they go for some of your products. But how do you foster that community? Do they just naturally gravitate themselves to your products, or do you outreach in certain ways?
No, that's interesting, because that's all about basically the work we have to do, especially in new cities like London, where we come, is how can we communicate why we exist? At the end of the day, you know, the competition is fierce. Is you have to really be communicating in a loud way somehow to tell why you are doing what you do. People are not buying product. People are buying stories. People buy what they believe. You know, so we have to, our promise is, you know, that we're doing superior formulation, but clean. Mm-hmm. Before, and this is very difficult, because clean formula were always associated with being weak and not as performant. So today we're demonstrating that's the opposite. And so for them to gravitate around us, they have to hear that, they have to have that knowledge.
Yeah. And in terms of those formulations, is there any specific ingredients or products that you think really help drive that performance and that clean side?
So you know, first of all, it's a combination of things. There is ingredients, you know, potent ingredients that works from specific product, mm-hmm. but also we have, you know, what we call some trademarks, some patent. For instance,
yeah.
On the styling product, we have a phytosense, which is a molecule that helps the hair to have memories. You know, it's obviously more costly, but it's only costly today. I think it's always the story about supply and demand. Mm-hmm. But because now the consumer is demanding this, it's going to be much more available. So we hope. Except there is always a macro event like, you know, COVID or now the war in Russia and Ukraine that causes, you know, the cost of the supplies to be bigger. But once we hope everything settled down, we think the cost of goods would be corrected and better.
Yeah.
But the consumer would pay more if they know they have a great product that is also good for their health, good for their beauty, but also pampering the planet.
Yes.
So,
and your products are a prime example of that.
Yes.
Consumers do pay these prices because they know what's in it.
Yes.
Yeah. So if I just talk about the future for the brand, you've already told me some of the innovations that you've got coming up. Mm. But if you were to look at, let's say, the next 1 year and the next 5 years, what do you hope we as consumers can see?
You know, I think the key today is for us is to be really on the pulse of innovation. Mm-hmm. What are the changes today? I mean, you know, the main issue, the one that really has, I mean, there's a few, but the one that is really important is hair loss. So we are really working closely now with scientists, researchers. We have a fantastic researcher, lead researcher at Columbia University in New York on hair loss, who is helping us. We are actually, as I said earlier, going to see a lab now in Switzerland. We will see another lab in New York. We're looking at making sure, because there's some product for hair loss today, but nothing for me, in my opinion, is really doing a great job.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't want to do what I call a sugar pill, but, you know, I really want to make sure that it's a product that is going to be cutting edge on innovation. So we've been talking to many scientists. It takes a long time to get the product approved. You know, there's all this clinical study and all this, but that's, to me, it's the future. But also, the beauty of it is also just other things. For instance, color-treated hair product. You know, they are different than virgin texture. So we are looking at, figure out how to close the shaft of the hair. So we're working, we're coming out with a product called Bonding, you know, and this is a fantastic, you know, formulation molecule that helps make fusing the shaft of the hair and making it smooth. So to me, those are the type of challenge and issue that we want to overcome and, you know, making sure that people feel like they have hair when they were young. You know, in a young hair is different than hair that has been, you know, aged. And so we went to anti-aging and skin, and now it's anti-aging in hair. So this is what we're working on.
Yeah. And just to finish off, I can't let you go without actually asking some hair care advice for UK consumers. Obviously, the weather in the UK changes, the seasons change, probably more dramatically than in a lot of places. But how can UK consumers take better care of their hair, especially with the season change, using products that you offer?
So there's a few things. First of all, UK is UK. So there's cities and there's
the countryside.
Countryside, yeah. Okay? Two different elements. So in the cities already, you know, it's so important to adapt with the environment. So the pollution is big in the city. The water is also a challenge. You know, the water coming from the pipe, you know, either has mineral or chlorine or maybe some residues from the pipe like copper and stuff like that. So we came out with a product line called Apple Cider Clearing Rinse, which is a triple cleanse. In the US, we call it detox. Here, it'll be triple cleanse because it's no longer allowed in beauty. But what it does, it's apple cider vinegar without the alcohol and with a softening agent, molecule that makes the hair smooth and soft, but it cleanses the hair and the scalp, because we have also a scalp scrub, and regulate the pH of the water in the hair and close the shaft of the hair by getting rid of all the impurities. So whether, as I said earlier, pollution, minerals, chlorine, or for instance, on the scrub, it's for the scalp. It has an exfoliating element with rice extract, microfibers rice extract, and ginger roots extract. And that is an exfoliating to clean the scalp for people that, for instance, have overused dry shampoo or things like that. And what it does is automatically gives a great massage to the scalp, activate the blood cells and the oxygen in the follicle. And automatically that gives a bounce, a volume to the roots, and also a shine into the hair. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always ask a customer to rinse the hair with cold water, as cold as they can bear, to make sure that it helps really sealing the shaft of the hair.
That's fascinating. I I'm going to change and
wash
my hair with.
That's for the city. And then, you know, outside, you know, it's important that if the hair doesn't need to be washed every day, is to do alternate, you know, every other days. And also what I suggest all the time is do not be stuck on one type of shampoo. It's so important to have in your shower two or three different types. Why? Because, you know, ladies have, for instance, color treated hair, or, you know, you have to address a few things, whether it's volume, color treated hair, or lack of shine, or as I said earlier, you know, anti-pollution.
Yep.
So you have to alternate, and this will allow the hair to have the right element, the right bounce, the right body, the right shine. This is what hair, beautiful hair is.
Perfect. What a great way to end this. I just want to say thank you for giving me, you know, over half an hour of your time to talk to me about everything about you, the brands that you've got, hair care. It's been wonderful. Just thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's so wonderful to finally treat hair care like skincare and really to have the science backed by nature. And not in the nature backed by science. You know, it's a wonderful combination. It's a great thing. It's a lovely journey for all of us.
You can access our podcast, including our In Conversation and In Detail series for fashion, at the industry.fashion's homepage or via Spotify, Amazon Music, or Apple Podcasts. Just remember to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.